So welcome to Mom Time, just by a show of hands. Who is here for the first time ever? First time. So maybe less than half. So who have been here for like a full round of Mom Time before? Maybe from 15 years ago. Raise your hand if it was 15 years ago. See, we've got some 15 rounders already. And then maybe 10 years ago. Let's talk about maybe 10 or 8 years ago. Really, and then Brett and I did something insane, and we sold our house, and we went and lived in this little, small, little garage that we converted with my daughters and I, and we were there for 4 years. So it was during that time where I'm not sure that I had a breakdown, but I kind of maybe think that it was like, wow, something big's going on here. I'm a little bit stressed out. So I was just praying through this and talking to Judy Slaughter, who we love. I've known Judy since I was in high school. And back down in Southern Oregon, before she did women's ministry at the Applegate, where I grew up in the Lord, you know. And I just remember years ago talking to Judy about, you know, Mom Time and through the years. And the very first Mom Time that we did that I think Alice was at and maybe Mary Lou was at. And it was Marna and I. Marna, who is a missionary now in Vanuatu. They're not there right now, but because they're locked out of their country. But Marna and I gathered with the moms based on age group. So if you hadn't had a child yet, or if it was like your first child in your first year, we kind of, you know, spaced it out. Like, we'll have 3 weeks with you, and then took a week off. And then the next chunk of time was, hey, if you have preschoolers and maybe, you know, two or more kids, we'll talk to you guys for about 3 weeks. And then the next one was when it was in the older, like up to eighth grade. So that was our first round of Mom Times. And that all started out of what I've learned from Judy, and that is in terms of Titus 2, which you guys are very familiar with. Let the older teach the younger how. And in our life, don't you agree, there's a lot of hows there that nobody talks about. When I had my daughter, Brooke, they handed me this baby, beautiful, perfect baby, and I was like, and where's the handbook? And there was like, there is no handbook. Good luck. So I was like, wow, real glad that I was married to Brett, that he had believing parents that were like really supportive of Brett and I in our desire to want to raise our kids in the Lord and with discipline, and what that looked like even biblically, because I was not raised that. I don't know if you got a chance to open up this book, which I also want to segue a minute and say thank you, dear Jess, for all your artwork on this, because it's just stunning. And it's a blessing, and it's exactly what I envisioned. So I basically gave her a slop of words and words and words, and put your pretty letters here, and this is the scripture, and then she poof, did this. So it was just amazing, and she gets me in a way that not very many people do. And to pull off an art project, you guys, in like a month. I'm like, wow, she did this in 2 weeks. She's like, I don't even understand how she's alive. But she's great, but anyway, we bonded through different Mom Times. So just to give you some history on why Mom Time ever even started, it was because I have felt so blessed to be surrounded by women like Judy and like my mother-in-law, Brenda, who were dedicated to the Lord, loved God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and really loved their families, and in Brenda's case, loved her husband. And I have to tell you, in Judy, because I know there's probably single moms here, possibly widows, but for the single moms, I have to tell you that I've never seen anyone honor their ex-husband the way that Judy has through the years. I mean, I believe that there's got to be crowns in heaven for women who have really been delegated that authority of having two roles spiritually in their home. My mom was a single mom, so I really understand that. And to watch Judy model behavior that was so, I mean, epically excellent. I can't even explain to you how excellent it was. Never a harsh word, never a bad word, never anything negative. And this was for a man that really, I mean, that was a trial in her life. And she'll never ask for kudos. But I am telling you, if you ever get a chance, even if there's nothing wrong, if you ever get a chance to call Judy for a counseling appointment, you should do it. You should do it. Just, you have to spend 5 minutes talking with Judy, because she will help you understand the benefit of that element of being washed in the Word. My earliest memories of Judy were hearing her talk to women at church, and all I was hearing was scripture. coming out of her mouth. And when there came an opportunity for a woman to be doing the women's ministry, in my mind, my little 18-year-old mind, 17-year-old mind, I was like, of course they're going to choose Judy. I mean, look at her. She's already doing it. There's lines of women talking to her, you know, about, and she's helping people really have wisdom and bringing the word. So we have, I just want to take time, we have our virtual leaders tonight. There's about over 100 or so people that are watching virtually all over. And tomorrow there'll be someone from the Netherlands watching. So if we all want to say hi, you know, to that person. So we have virtual leaders that are out there. Judy Slaughter is one, Melinda, there's several. And then in our in-house tonight, I would like to know if the in-house leaders could also stand, because a little bit later, I'll be calling on you guys as we break up into groups. So if you're a leader, in-house leader, could you stand and just take a look around you, you guys, because there's going to be a time when we break up, just like our virtual, well, you can go sit down now, thank you. When we break up into our groups, the whole plan, the Lord's just blessed us so much, because we have enough leaders to have nice small groups that are in the 9, 10, maybe 11 range. That's a good thing. For 8 weeks, we're going to do that, so it's just so good. So now to the book. What is this about? So Choose Life, I chose that name because it is bold. To say choose life in our culture today, when one of my main concerns of our children is that they're being raised in a culture that accepts death as normal. And when I was young, it was edgy to accept abortion as a normal process of life. Now it's not only accepted as normal, but it's passed out over the counter at Walgreens. You can get day after medicine, you know, so it's become so normalized, and we've got teen suicide that's up high, we've got acceptance of, in Oregon, we have, you know, older folks who want to go ahead, and even if you have a terminal illness, you know, the whole suicide thing, doctor assisted, but it's tough. We're in a really awesome place, though, because let me tell you what's awesome about living in Oregon. There is no question of where you're at with your faith, am I right? I mean, you are either on the side of the light or you're on the side of the darkness. It's not even a problem anymore. When I was a young mom pregnant with Brooke, I was concerned. You look down the decades of time, and I remember talking to the Lord, Lord, my concern for having babies in this world, what is that going to look like? And the Lord spoke to my heart so clearly to not be afraid and to not, just don't even give it a second thought, because the Lord was going, yes, Debbie, society is going to become this way, but you don't have to worry, because in doing that, the world is going to become much darker, but my light will be that much lighter. And so it will be an easy choice for your children. So I see you guys now with your young kids, and I think, wow, it's so amazing that you're living in a time where it's a lot of turbulence out there in terms of society, but don't be fearful. Because God's word is God's word yesterday, today, and forever. He's the God that does not change. His love is forever. His unconditional love towards you and your family will remain. That's a non-negotiable with God. And so that's what the Choose Life title is about. It's about whatever comes your way in terms of hardship, in terms of trials, in terms of whatever the thing is that's coming at you. In this case, it's the mothering aspect of your life, and it's the home situation, and trying to make that be as fulfilling for your whole family. By you serving your family, you also get served. Just making sure that that whole kind of vibe is in place. That is the aspect of choosing life. So now let me just flip open. I write a personal introduction that you guys that are just getting your book can, you know, look to. And I explain a little bit about my growing up and just how the Lord used situation in my life in order to bring me to Him. It would not have been the same had I had a super rosy situation in my home, you know. And it's a pretty turbulent start, and you can read about that. But then I go to the Psalm 77, verse 14, and it's just this beautiful piece that Jess did. And the scripture is, you are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. That is something you could frame. I mean, look at this. Even if you get the book for someone else for the art, it's good because the artwork's so pretty. But I love that scripture because when I look at my life, I do say, Lord, you have really worked wonders. I mean, when you read in the intro, I really am a statistic kid. I mean, if you look at like the numbers of what happened in my life and the amount of things that happened in my life, There's no way I should be standing here. The only reason I know is that God spared me. And that is the exact same thing that he can do for any of you, no matter what your situation is. There are moments when I think back, and I do definitely want to make sure that I make this really clear. I don't fault, you know, the choices that were made in my background. I don't fault, like, my parents or who was influencing them or whatever. I don't, because God knew. This did not surprise God. God knew that I would be here right now talking with you. And he knew that there would be situations that would come up that would be really, really hard for some of you to face. And maybe you think you're alone in that. And I'd be standing here right now to tell you, you are not alone. You are never, ever to believe the lie that you are alone. Because number one, God is always with you. He is omnipresent and he is everywhere always. And he will never leave you or forsake you. You are not alone. Second, you have women in this audience tonight who have graciously given their time to be your group leader, and you can ask them for prayer. You can text them, call them. You also have pastors who are pretty much on standby if you do have something that is of serious need for help. If there's a family intervention or a crisis, you're just never alone. So that's something that the enemy would want you to think so that you can stay sequestered and stay hidden away. But you know what, you guys? Choose life. That's what the book's about, okay? We're going to open up things that may appear dark and say, no, 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 we're going to go ahead and choose life. How does God help me choose life in this? So a scripture that I just love, it's meant so much to me, and it's in the book, is Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 through 20. And it says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And from there, we start the creation account. That's going to be our focus for this first week as you guys work through the workbook. It's not meant to be anything that's intense. If you end up skipping a day, don't stress out. On Fridays, there's a little bit more to do because generally people sometimes get, if you get a little bored on the weekends and you're like, oh, I wish I actually had more to do. That's there for you. I will tell you, this is like tilling soil in some cases. Have you guys been around dirt very much? I am a gardener, so I know, I remember I have early memories, and I write about some of the stuff in the book of, oh, great, it's my weekend with Dad. I get to go weed. Ugh. So the weeding would be hard ground, compacted with weeds around it, and having to break that up. You've got to think about some of these things that you're going to come up against over the next few weeks, because we're going to hit some good things, like really good things. If you allow the Lord to break up the hard ground that may or may not be around your situation, and we don't need to try to break down why that dirt has gotten hard around in your life, like a callus, but I will tell you, the Lord is so gracious because what does he give us? The anointing oil of his Holy Spirit to soften that, like sweet water, the water of the word causing refreshment, and that can soften that dirt and that ground. Just trust the Lord to help him, to help you, to work through whatever it is that you think you need to bring to him. That's how you're going to get the most out of these little sessions, okay? And I just think it's going to turn into something super fun for you, and you're going to feel a lot of strength. So one thing about creation, and then I'll set you free, because you're going to be, I'll go to what I'm going to say tonight, but during the week, you're going to do all this on your own. But in this first page, which matches, see? Isn't that fun? Isn't that so pretty, though? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Oh, I just love it. I'm just, sorry, Jess, I don't want to exalt you, but like, oh my gosh, she did such a good job. But I love all the glitter and all the gold and all the pretty stuff. So, but on this page, if you go to like paragraph 3, Christian women, your role as a mom has never been more critical. Knowing our origin is imperative to moving forward in the gift of redemption. It is crucial to your perspective in parenting. He is the creator of all things, and that includes you and your family. Having an accurate view of ourselves, as well as our family members, will free us up to allow God to do his work within us. Fallen people, yes, but created by him and for him. And that's where I'm going to branch off this evening. I want to talk about just the beauty of God and how he has set it up in creation. And you'll come about this as you're just going page by page, you know, into the book. But, you know, what's the first thing God did? In the beginning, it was dark. And the Bible says that in Genesis 1. And I just love how Brett says, if you can get past Genesis 1:1, you've got the rest of the Bible figured out. So I'm just here tonight to, if there's one thing you've got to work through with God tonight, it is to take him at his word, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. All the rest falls into place. And what is super fun is if we go to the end of the Bible, which is just so great, I just want to read to you in the book of Revelation where we're headed. Because it's one thing to know about our past and where we've been, but it's also super cool to know where we're headed. So if you guys have your Bibles and you want to go ahead, open up to Revelation chapter 20, and we get to see the thrones, we get to see the final judgment, we get to see Satan cast into the lake of fire, we get to see the great white throne judgment, we get to see a new heaven and a new earth. Now I'm over into 21, verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So, you know, that's where we're headed. Like, the Lord has order. And so I know that I think a lot of us have felt this year past, behind us, 2020, boop, was different. It was like uncannily different. And seemed like we were taking a turn in terms of our culture. I mean, in terms of all, everything, like, I mean, Brett and I literally the other day, we walked outside and we said, has the axis of the earth actually shifted? Because it appears that the sun, and I know it's winter solstice and all that, the sun is like not even coming up right now. Like, what in the world? It's like, it's not coming up, you know? Like, you can't make the sun come up. So we're kind of in this, you know, it's like, we've felt it a lot. And I think because we've been in our houses and all this stuff, and summer passed, and now we're in the winter again, and, you know, we're facing these things. But wait, slow down. Choose life. How do we choose life in this? So for me, no matter what age my kids were, I sometimes would have to do a reset for myself and for my children. Now, later on in the book, you're going to read that that's called the happy chat. Okay, and it's just a nice time when you made some brownies or a tiramisu or something good, and you know, you're sitting the kids down and you're saying, okay, so remember when we did ABC? And they say, yeah. You say, no more. Now we're going to change, and it's going to be 1, 2, 3. So I go into it more in the book, but you'll see that this is a part that you need to implement into your life. It helps give you order and structure. That's just the kind of mom I needed to be. You know, 2 kids, great. Once you have 3 kids, so I have Brooke, Joey, and Casey. Once you get to 3, they say, you're going to make a decision. You're either going to be an organized mom or you're just going to let it just go. And I remember sitting in the kitchen and like crying toddler. And I just remember thinking, I choose order, you know, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't be the let it go mom because I would let it go, you know. And so I had to, I really liked routine. I really liked, you know, just making sure things are orderly, having grace, of course. But I loved learning certain things, like literally don't cry over spilled milk. You know, literally. Like, you should not ever, ever discipline your child for spilling milk. That's an accident. That's what we got. But learning those things, the difference between open rebellion and learning about spilled milk. And then as my kids got older, learning, wow, when they were younger, I burned a ton of calories because I was really running after them. Then all of a sudden, it's junior high school, and it's like, wow, now I'm burning a bunch of fuel driving them all around. And then they get to be 16, and it's like, wow, now I have to pay for my hair color because my hair is gray. Because they are driving, and I think they're going to die. So I don't, like, it's a freak out. You can have, woo. So I'm the type that goes into maybe a little bit too much control. I'm the mom that maybe just needs to calm down a little bit, not be so controlling. So, you know, God has his ways of helping me do this. Brett says, the first day of, I think, Joey's day into kindergarten, I was flabbergasted because I had this envisioned in my mind. We went and did his kindergarten roundup, and we dropped off his backpack, and he was so excited, and he had his little pencil, and I took his picture, and that was just for the roundup. And then the day of the first day came, and I thought he was going to be just like Brooke, and I thought he was going to hold my hand, because he's supposed to, and go to the class, and he is 100 yards away from me in 2 seconds with his backpack. That was my view. Boing, 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 boing. Joey was off to class. And it was the cutest thing ever. But I also was like, oh, but that was my moment. My moment's gone. And we were going to get it back. So I went home and Brett said, honey, I want you to grab my hand. And so I grabbed his hand. He goes, grab my finger. And he's, you know, big Brett. So grabbed his big hand. And then he went like this to my fingers. And I said, what are you doing? And he goes, that's what you have to learn to do for the rest of your life. And I said, I don't like that. And he said, too bad. That's what you have to do. Yeah. So that gives you just a little glimpse into like the balance between Brett and I. You guys know Brett. You're seeing him all the time and everything. And he is just so great. But he is the most logical person. And so he didn't freak out. When I would have my times of being like, are you kidding me? The house is dirty again. I literally just got done and it's muddy again. He would come home from work and he would say, honey, don't you understand? Kids equals mess. Kids equals mess. And I would say, yes, yes, but no, 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 kids equals mess. It's clean when they move out. Boom, you know. He's logical. He's a logical dude. So hopefully throughout the next 8 weeks, I'll be able to share some little tidbits and stories. When we break up into groups, you'll have fun because you'll be able to also pray together and just ask questions that you need to ask. But let's just ask ourselves a question. What's an example of what we don't want to do in mom time in our mind? What do we want to try to not turn out like? Well, I found a scripture today that I thought, oh my gosh, this is so funny. I have to share it with you. Okay, this is what we don't want to think. I loathe my very life. Therefore, I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out in bitterness of my soul. So that's from Job 10, verse 1. And that is not us, just so you know. That is not choosing life. We may not be super happy with our circumstances, but we if we're at that place, you definitely need to call your team leader, okay? That's what I would say. That's good. So now let's just get back to, if you guys want to open up to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm just going to read to you a scripture that blessed me so much when Brooke was first born, and I made her little Christmas cards with her little hand, you know, and I hand wrote the scripture because it just was such a blessing to me to think like, wow, God has allowed me to be a parent and to really pour Christ into this child, and what a blessing. So that scripture says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates." Verse 18, "Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you." And my takeaway from that has always been, wow, look at God's intention. His intention is to bless us. We choose sometimes to go off the road and to not see that blessing, but his intention is to bless us. And I think that's part of the reset for us as moms here tonight, and then as we go throughout the days, is to step back and to say, wait a minute, okay, so I'm being challenged on this, and I'm pretty sensitive right now that maybe I'm pushing from my will on this. And why am I fighting so hard for this? And what is God's intention for this? And let's see God's heart. Because that will help with that, again, going back to that dirt. Clunk, clunk, clunk. Just getting it washed off so that you can get to what it is you need to deal with, you know. And the Lord will help you with that. And that is part of what mom time, what we want to do is to be able to help each other towards getting to that end. It's just really sweet. Now, back up a couple pages in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23, Moses says, "O sovereign Lord, you have begun to show to your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty works you do?" In Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, God says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart." And then he says, "As long as you live." And I love that so much because there are moms here tonight who have already raised their kids. And there are moms here tonight who are starting to become, or already are, grandmothers. This declaration that God gives us is for the rest of our life, to walk with him, to glean good things from God for as long as we live. And so that's the only answer. You know, like when you want to squirm out of something and you absolutely know that you are not in the right place spiritually, go back to what God's intention is. Just back up a little bit again. God's intention is to bless us. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you. And then a couple scriptures later, as long as you live. the Lord doesn't want you just to do good right now for this hour. He wants you to do good as long as you live, you know, and he wants your kids to do good as long as you live also. So choosing life, that's what it's about. When you've got something in front of you and there's life or death and it's real obvious, for sure take life. If you've got life or death and it's not so obvious, ask a trusted friend. Ask your team leader. Ask someone who really is in your inner circle that you can say, I need some honesty here. I need to really know, is what I'm talking about, is it biblical? Am I getting thrown off? Am I seeing it incorrectly? What's happening? Because my intention is to choose life because God wants to bless me and my family as long as I live. So can you help me? And that's what Mom Time's about. So hopefully we've got a good definition there. So now looking at what it is that we're gonna be looking at over the next little while, in the beginning, God. So God took 6 days, and the focus is not so much gonna be about the every single detail that God did, because I truly, truly believe that if you guys just look up on the previous teachings from Pastor Brett, I absolutely love, and I'm not saying this because he's my husband and I love him. He is a good teacher. He is a gifted teacher. I saw him do children's ministry for years, and then now I've seen him for 25 years teaching here. He is a good teacher. So look up Genesis 1 and go all the way. I mean, 1 through 9 gets you the creation account and gets you up to the story of Noah. But go to 11, because we will go and start, we'll reference to Abraham and his descendants a little bit. So just over the next week, a lot of people probably have already started this, but some people start their through the Bible in a year, so you may have already read these chapters. But if you don't have anything on your list, go ahead and put it in as homework to read Genesis 1 through 11. And if you want to, just listen to the teachings. That's gonna get you all the nitty-gritty stuff. Brett gets into all that detail, and it's so good. And then if you want even more information, the study book that I love to use is called The Genesis Record. And it is a tool that I would suggest you buy and get as far as a book. You will use it for your own children when they ask you questions. If they're in some school and the teacher says, Mom, I was in English class today and the substitute said evolution's real and I almost got sent to the principal's office because I opposed that. You can actually help them learn what the systems are that God put in place. It is just fantastic. God is just so amazingly smart. I mean, he's God. But like, it's really cool when you have teachings like what Brett has given, plus the Genesis Record by Henry Morris, that really help you, wow, right down to the very detail. God has thought through it all, and it's just so comforting. The other aspect of that, why it is so comforting, is that God made you with an intention. He made systems in place. He gave us light. He separated the light from the darkness. He gave, put vapor, and then he made the water. He just created all these systems, making it all ready for us. And we didn't come about until the end part, when there was already a system of light. How many people know about the diaper trick, for instance? You put your diaper, if you're doing fresh cloth diapers, you set your stuff, white things get whiter when you put them in the sun. Do you guys know that? If you don't know that, hello, I just taught you something. So if you want really, really white stuff, you can put it out in the sun, and the sun bleaches it. It kills bacteria. God knew that. He knew how our bodies would thrive off of light, and he knew exactly what we would need. He knew the mechanism. He knew how much water we would be made out of. I mean, 60% water. It's crazy. Like, we're so much water, and God made all of that, and he made soil, and he made the bugs in the soil, because there's the Krebs cycle, and when people die, it's just the whole breakdown process. Like, God made all of it. So we have a set time here on this earth, and we are not perfect beings. So as moms, the beautiful part about us coming together is no matter where you're at on your timeline, no matter where you're at, the first step is acknowledging, wow, okay, I was made by God, and so was my family. Everyone in my family was made by God, and that's what I'm gonna teach them. That's what I'm gonna talk to them about, is how our identity is not in this world, but our identity is in the biblical way of thinking, and that is God made us. He made us with intention, right down to our fingerprints, guys. All of us have different fingerprints. Everyone has different DNA. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So I'm really excited, because as you look at what God made in the Old Testament in Genesis, and then I give you some references into the New Testament and who Jesus is and how he satisfies every one of those things and even more. It's just so sweet that we have been elected and chosen to walk with God. It's a high honor for us. And I think it can give you that ignition that you need, just the Holy Spirit dynamic of just really understanding, oh my goodness, this is an amazing gift. And if there's one thing I want to be able to pass to my kids, it's that gift, that knowledge, so that they feel secure and they feel valued. So I wanted to read to you from Psalm 35, because I also understand that as women, some women, especially right now, are you kidding me? They're debating taking out all language of men and women. It's ridiculous. Whatever. God made man, God made woman, that's it. So men, generally, are a little bit more this. Would you agree? We can be like this. Would you agree? We can be honest. We can be honest. We can be woo, down, up, down, up, down. Sometimes that's from not eating. Sometimes that's not from getting enough fresh air. Sometimes it's from not enough sleep. Whatever. There's everything. You know, we've got these 28-day cycles that we deal with. It's the beauty of being a woman. It's what causes us to be able to have children. It's amazing. But it can be a little bit of a pain in the neck because we have this. Oof, sometimes. You know, it's just very difficult. Now, with all of that, now I'm giving you this book and I'm saying, okay, I present to you, redo your brain, okay? And you're going to read this over the next few weeks, and you're going to say, wow. I mean, not you, but like in your mind, you're going to have to like set aside your helmet, your spiritual warfare, and you're going to need to pray this like what King David prayed. He says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take up shield and buckler. Arise and come to my aid. Brandish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. May those who seek my life be disgraced and put to shame. May those who plot my ruin be turned back in dismay. May they be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. May their path be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. And then in verse 10, my whole being will exclaim, who is like you, O Lord? You preserve the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them. So a couple days ago when I was preparing, I was reading, and Brett came by, and I said, oh, honey, look at this. I read this. This is so good. And he was like, oh, let me hear it. And that was kind of like, that doesn't happen all the time. He's usually here or whatever. So I was like, okay. So I read him this, and he's like, you know who you're reading that about, right? And I said, I knew what he meant. I was reading it very, you know, theatrically, and I think he was like, do you think that's supposed to be me? You know? I hope you're not thinking that's me that you're saying contend, you know? And I was like, no, I know it's the devil. Don't worry. I mean, I'm not thinking that at all. But I thought, I got to tell you ladies that when we're reading in the Psalms and we're reading in these other things, and David's got this warfare attitude and like, come on, that is not your husband. That is not your child. You never say that attitude towards your family, okay? Spiritually, though, have at it. Because we fight not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities, and warfare is real. So I just want to make sure that you guys know that as well, that you put your helmet on, put your salvation, get your belt, get your, you know, go through the armor in Ephesians and just and enjoy the ride, because it's very, very sweet what God is able to do when he's working things around in your heart. So then lastly, before we close here, I just want to go ahead and read to you Psalm 148, because it is just a reflection of praise and what it is that God has done in creating. So, and also just for our own minds to know that one of the root things, like Brett had told us on New Year's Eve, to be thankful and to be glad and to be confident and to be fearless. And those are such good things. And this psalm, I think, helps us summarize just our attitude mentally and our emotional, no matter where we're at, kind of turbulence emotionally. But when we can focus on praise and thanksgiving, it helps us be glad. And we can have confidence in God because he will contend for us. And we can be fearless because he is the one that has gone before us and made everything and done everything for us. So this is how it goes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name is exalted, his splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn or king. The praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. In Habakkuk chapter 3, it says, God's power and ability to deliver is for us. In verse 18, Habakkuk says, but God, even if you don't deliver, I will trust you and I will love you. And that, ladies, as we close up for this week, is where I want to leave it hanging for you. No matter what the outcome is, that we could have hearts that will praise and choose to love and rejoice and honor God, no matter what our circumstances are. Because he is the author of our lives, he's the author of this world that we live in, and we can make choices every day, choices that will impact for the next generation and times to come. And I just pray blessing on you all, and let's go ahead and pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this evening, and I thank you for this time together. And now as we break up into our virtual groups and live groups, I just pray that you would bless this time and be with us all, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done. In your precious name we pray, amen.